This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's brilliant to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I get to share another fantastic story of an Ironman triathlete today. And this one is super, super inspiring. If you're a parent, I think you are going to love this one. And if you're new to the sport and you're wondering how you can wrap your head around doing an Ironman, you're going to get tons out of this one, okay? I catch up with Sophie Bubb. We head to the UK. And before we get into my chat with Sophie, just a big thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for high-performance wheels, then make sure you check out Wheel Science, okay? They've pretty much been tested alongside some of the best wheels in the world, and they've come out incredibly well. You can get all the performance at half the price. I mean, 220 Tri did some external group wheel testing on the 80mm wheels, and the DT Swiss Arc 1100 die-cut 80 came out tops. Wheel Science Elemental 88s were second, and they're a third of the price of those DT Swiss. The Zip 858s came in third, and the Wheel Science Elementals are a quarter of the price. So if you are in the market for new wheels, do yourself a favor and go check them out, okay? And in doing so, you support the Kona Edge. All you have to do is head over to this URL, okay? It is thekonaedge.com/wheels. The link is in the podcast player to this podcast as well. Click straight through there. And Peter and Joe have been kind enough to give loyal listeners of the Kona Edge a 10% discount. So not only are you getting a great price normally on the Wheel Science wheels, but they'll give you 10% off for listening to the podcast. All you have to do is use the coupon code Kona Edge at checkout. That's Kona Edge, and you can get 10% off. They've also just recently, in the last few days, introduced some amazing decals. So if you are representing your country and you'd like to get your bike matching up to your flag, now's your chance. Go check them out. Wheelscience.com is the website, and use that coupon code Kona Edge at checkout to get 10% off. Peter just choked on his coffee. It's 10% for using the Kona Edge at checkout. Enough of me rambling on. Let's head straight into my chat with Sophie. Head back to the UK now to catch up with our next guest here on the Kona Edge, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Sophie Bubb onto the podcast. Sophie, welcome.
Hello.
Sophie, this is take two, and I feel terrible because we had internet issues and I had power issues. It was a nightmare the first time we tried to record, so fingers crossed, let's hope this one works out better.
No problem at all.
Sophie, it's good to have you on. Your sporting background is slightly different to, I think, anyone we've had on before. You come from a bit of a sailing background.
Yes, that's correct. I grew up sailing competitively. I think until I was about 17, 18, I was always trying to get into the British team and never quite made it. I was in the British squad. It was great when I hit triathlon and was able to wear the age group colours. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And yeah, I worked in the marine industry ever since. So yeah, my husband's been a professional sailor. And so yeah, it's a very different world to me compared to sailing.
I was going to say sailing's still a part of your life, because your hubby, I was going to mention him, and he's done some amazing things sailing wise as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's now retired from professional sailing, but he spent 10 years racing offshore single-handedly, in something called a mini transat. And he's like sailed around the world nonstop in a maxi cat. And I met him doing the Volvo Ocean Race, where I was doing the shore logistics and he was sailing on the boat. So we've worked within like the professional sports world, but it's always been, the focus has been on him, and I've always been in support of him.
Well, now the focus is a lot about you, because like you say, you've almost found a home in age group racing in triathlon. You heading back to Kona this year for your third visit. Coming from a competitive sporting background in a different sporting code, I'm thinking that's what one of the things that makes triathlon and particularly Ironman so attractive, is that it gives people who might not have been racing at Olympic level in those sort of sports but were super competitive an opportunity to really excel in a sport for the rest of their lives and get to represent their country, essentially.
Yeah, it's I think I've fallen in love with triathlon because I really enjoy the competitive element, and it's possible to take that to I suppose as seriously as you want to. And I think I'm the most unlikely, because I wasn't really into sport particularly. I was quite happy being in the side wings after I gave up sailing, and had definitely hung up what I thought was my competitive spirit. And it sort of all got discovered by accident. And I'm so glad that it has happened, because it's something that I really love. And especially as I'm bringing up my two little boys, it's great to be able to show them that, you know, mums can do it too.
That's awesome.
It's not just following dad. Like, we support each other both in our endeavours as much as we can. But it's great to actually be doing something rather than just always on the sideline with him.
Absolutely. So tell me how you got into the sport of triathlon. I mean, where did it all start for you?
I think probably, as with most people standing on a start line of Ironman, it was by accident. I certainly never thought that I would be an Ironman myself when I first came across the sport. My husband has always been into endurance sports. And so before I met him, I literally had never run 10K or clipped into a road bike. I definitely wasn't into sport. I was more into having a good time, and I was really into surfing. I spent like 10 years after I stopped sailing surfing. And so I spent a lot of time watching him. And I think probably being slightly in awe, but potentially just thinking these people are absolutely crazy. Like, I remember the first time he did a long course, like Ironman distance. It wasn't an Ironman branded event, but I just watched the start line, and I just literally couldn't compute what I was watching. Like, and I wasn't 100% that interested either. I sort of went to support him and looked at it, just went, oh my God, these people are crazy. And it was so far beyond anything I understood that I just, I didn't really know what to make of it. And then after I had my first baby, I thought I wanted to get fit, actually, for the first time. It was the first time I was inspired to like feel strong again. And I entered Paris Marathon with my husband, and like on the condition he promised he'd race with me next to me, hold my hand when I needed to, you know, he would stay with me during the race. And I think standing in Paris, looking down at the Champs-Élysées was like, it was an incredible experience for me. Like, we were like, I think back in the 4 hour pen, and just looking, it's on a slight hill, and you could just like look down over these heads of people. And it was totally exhilarating. And we trained hard together, and we'd done lots of running buggies, and it'd been a real team effort to get to the start line. But all I wanted to do was finish. And a couple of miles into the race, Nick's like, I'm just going to stop for a wee and I'll catch you up. I was like, all right, cool, perfect. See you later. And like the whole way through the race, I kept like looking over for him going, where is he? Where is he? And I finished the race, and I ended up having to walk the last few miles, but I finished in like 3 hours and 40 minutes. And Rory was like 6 months at the time, and I think I was still breastfeeding him. And so the whole thing of like finishing in under 4 hours, beating Nick, it was literally amazing. And I was like, why did I walk those last miles? You know, I could have probably done it in 3:30 if I hadn't had to walk those last miles. And it was suddenly like this, like, whoa, that's really cool. I can run a marathon, and I can run under 4 hours. and that was it was literally an incredible experience where I just loved it. And I had my second baby, this is really long, sorry. I had my second baby 16 months later after Rory. And I'd had loads of problems in the pregnancy, and I had lots of problems with my pelvis, and it got to the point where I couldn't actually like get up the stairs, and I had to like put Rory on my lap if I wanted to get up and down the stairs. And it was all quite, I suppose, probably slightly traumatic. And I felt like I'd lost control of my body, and it was terrifying. And so after I had Billy, the first thing I wanted, you know, obviously I wanted to look after him, but the second thing I wanted to do was like get myself fit again. And I sort of had a chat to Nick, and I was like, you know, maybe I'll do this like triathlon. Like, I could see how much he enjoyed it. I was like, yeah, well, let's do it. And previously, Nick had over enthusiastically bought me a time trial bike off eBay for £500. So I had one sitting in the garage waiting that I literally had never really used before. And so I was like, right, you know, I've got a bike. I can do this. So I was like, I'll do a half Ironman. And Nick just turned to me and goes, we do not do anything by halves in this family. You're doing it. You're doing the whole. I was like, oh my God, really? And for some reason, I just was like, you know what? I trusted him with a marathon. I've just, you know, let's just do it and see what happens. And I looked at the latest Ironman distance event I could find that was close to home, so it wouldn't cost too much money. And it was Ironman Weymouth, Challenge Weymouth. Sorry, not Ironman Weymouth, it was Challenge Weymouth. It was a challenge event. And I entered it. And so at the time of the start, Billy was going to be 6 months old. And somehow I quite like the fact Rory being 6 months at Paris, Billy was going to be 6 months at Challenge Weymouth. And it was a pretty terrifying experience. Like, I was really lucky. I had private medical through work. And so I was able to get some physio to help me. And like, I remember like the first time I went out on my bike and I'd be like riding for 30 minutes. And it's just like, oh my God, I can't ride more than 30 minutes. I'm never going to be able to do this. But I knew that if I'd said to Nick, I want to go for a coffee, he would never look after the babies. But if I said to him, you know what? I'm going to go for a bike ride, he'd be happy to support me. And it turned into, like, I was breastfeeding the whole way through, and it just turned into an absolutely hilarious family affair whereby, like, the first times I went up to the lake, I'd have to be like, my boobs were so big they were going to explode with milk. Nick had to come up with me. So as soon as I got out of the lake, I think I had to feed to get my wetsuit done up. So, like, he'd have to pass me Billy, I'd feed him, get my wetsuit done up, go around, come back. And then, like, he would meet me in the forest and it'd be like kids ice cream for Rory. And then I'd end up feeding Billy. And he would literally, like, a couple of times, like, drive round on my longer rides. And it slowly built up. And it was literally like, it was a really fun team effort. And the hours that I had to do was crazy, because it was like, obviously, not, I think neither of them were particularly sleeping through. And I remember this point where I was just like, what on earth am I doing? I'm like waking up before my two sleeping children so that I can get to train before Nick goes to work. And they've been up all night. But somehow that additional challenge of getting to that start line, I relished. And I think Nick relished. And what we didn't know when I entered was that it was the Euro Championships. So it was the ETU European Championships. And I turned up at the start line and all these people are in there like, country colors and all this stuff, and I was just like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And got on the bike, got on the swim, did it all. I think I kind of really enjoyed it. But when I got onto the run, I was like, oh my goodness, this is just crazy. And I literally started packing, didn't know how I was going to do it. But actually, this is going to sound really bizarre, but as I got onto the run, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. But I'm like, well, I've just had a baby. How did I do that? And I ended up doing hip on the run. So I was like, it's all about like getting out of your body. And I just sort of got on with the run. And on the last lap, Nick came up to me and he's like, I think you're winning your age. Like, this is amazing. And then like the next bit of time I saw him, he's like, I think you're actually like winning. And I was like, and all I wanted to do was finish. I had no concept of what it was. And then when I came over the finish line, he's like, I think you, it was a bit of confusion. I think you've won your weight category. Brilliant, whatever. And then later on, it transpired that I was actually the first dipper for the European Championships. And we didn't really comprehend it. I literally was just like, just so relieved to finish. I was like, at least I never, ever have to do that again. And obviously that qualified me for the ITU Worlds, which was in Oklahoma. And so that's how I got into triathlon. It was a bit of a mistake, a fun journey, and it was just to get fit post-childbirth. It's quite a long explanation, I'm sorry.
No, I love that. I think that is so inspiring, Sophie. I mean, it's an incredible story, and obviously the bug is bitten, because like I said earlier on, you're going back to Kona for a third time. This has really sort of become something that you are just madly in love with.
Yes, it really is. I think it's been the most incredible journey, because I enjoyed the challenge and just relished the challenge and being given the opportunity to have the challenge. To get to Kona again was a bit of a, after I qualified for Oklahoma, I wanted to do another long course before I raced Oklahoma at the ITU Worlds, and everything was focused on the ITU Worlds. And so I went to Bolton, which is the UK Ironman, and I think it was literally the night before, I was sitting in the room and I was like, oh, I'm racing another Ironman, oh my gosh, I can't get to the finish. And then it suddenly dawned on me, I was like, oh my goodness, I won my age category at Challenge Weymouth. In fact, I was the first amateur. That's crazy. And I did that race and did the same result. So I was fifth overall and I was first age grouper and I qualified for Kona. And at the time, I didn't really understand too much the difference between ITU racing, Ironman racing. I just loved racing, like genuinely just love racing. And I was suddenly like, how am I going to get to Oklahoma and Kona? And then I realized they were 2 weeks apart. And so, pretty lucky. And the whole, the boys, so I think Billy still flew for free because he was under one by the time I went to Kona, I think. Would that be right? Under two? Anyway, we were able to get the whole family to Oklahoma. And then 2 weeks later, we flew directly to Kona for my first ever Kona. And the bug certainly got bitten there. And it's just been an incredible journey. And it's been a family journey. Like the whole way through, it's been a journey for the whole family.
Sophie, how for Nick, and I mean, we don't want to speak for him, but he must be pretty chuffed. I mean, obviously you followed him, like you said, you followed him around in his endeavors, and he has an opportunity for him to watch you excel at a sport and do really well. He must be super proud of you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I certainly, without his support and encouragement, and well, yeah, without him, I wouldn't be doing it at all. Because I think anyone that has a family that races Ironman, it knows that for it to work, it has to be a team effort. Like my mum's involved, my brother's involved. Like if you've got kids and you race Ironman, it's you're not there on your own. It's a team. And yeah, he's very proud, and I think he's proud of himself and the way he's managed it all. Cause he sort of does the logistics and he's so involved. Like for the first 2 years, we wrote up my training program together because we had to fit it around his work, my work, the kids, like the logistics of doing it meant that, you know, it wasn't really possible to get a coach. And so we would sit down and write the program together, and his experience as an endurance athlete and his experience as a professional sailor, we were able to put together, I think, a program that was effective. And it's always been about training effectively, fairly and thoughtfully for each other, because he's, you know, respecting each other.
I love that. Sophie, you've had a bit of a challenging year, particularly at the moment, you're a bit injured. Kona coming up towards the end of the year. Tell me a little bit about the struggles that you're fighting at the moment.
Oh, it's so annoying. I spent this winter building my bike because I thought that was the area that I needed to concentrate on for Kona, and I had I spent the whole winter doing over geared turbo sessions, and I got let loose on my first bike race back in May, which was the Tour of Wessex. And I was loving it. I was having the most incredible race. I started off with the first group of guys and I lost them a couple of times, but they stopped for food and water. And anyway, at 85 miles in, instead of like hanging on the back of them, just drafting, which is a whole new experience. Anyway, I managed to get to sort of the front to help lead the pack that I've been riding with. And I got a bit overzealous and I came off my bike and I broke my collarbone in three places and like sort of shattered a middle bit of it. And so I had it plated and I sort of got told it'd be like 5 to 8 weeks, and it went to 8 to 10 weeks. And then I think at 10 weeks, so a week ago, I had it scanned. And in fact, there's been no healing, at all in the last 5 weeks. I raced Alpe d'Huez triathlon, I think 3 weeks ago. So I've been back swimming and stuff, and I think maybe I overdid it, which is a bit stupid. So I'm now back onto a very limited swim. But I'm still focusing on my run on my bike, but I think anything getting to the start line, I've always said part of Ironman is actually getting to the start line, isn't it? So that's one of the challenges you have to overcome.
Getting there,
definitely not ideal, but
I think getting there in one piece is the challenge.
Challenge is first, congratulate anyone starting on a start line of an Ironman needs to give themselves a pat on the back. I will certainly be doing so when I get to Kona.
Absolutely. Sophie,
it's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when all's said and done, and eventually you decide, you know what, you've had enough of this, of hanging out with the crazies, what would you have wanted to achieve in the sport of triathlon?
I want to know that I've given it my best. I still want to have my family beside me and happy and supporting me and not irritated and disgruntled that I'm spending so much time doing it. I mean, it's such a selfish endeavor. I do sometimes feel a bit guilty about doing it. But then when I think about what I'm able to give my kids, like Rory's 4 now and Billy's 3 and they're watching, and I just see their enthusiasm for sport and like their competitive nature coming out. And, you know, I think anyone doing an Ironman, you have to commit so much to it and train so hard. You know, if you can ask something for your children, it is just to work hard and, you know, be true to themselves. And I think a lot of what I'm doing through racing Ironman, I hope will, maybe they don't understand it now, but it's giving them a good base, you know, about sticking at something and working at something. They spend a lot of time. I've got a what was meant to be their playroom next to our kitchen is now set up as my gym, because obviously a lot of my training is done in the evening when they're asleep. And so they spend quite a lot of time in there with me. and so they you know, they quite often are in there and they get to see it. So inspiring my children, really.
I love it. Well, Sophie, I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but what we'll do is we'll save that for next time. Thanks for your time today on the Cone Edge, and we'll catch up next week.
Okay, lovely. Bye-bye.
And that's it for this edition of the show. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you to Sophie for sharing her journey into the sport. I love that chat. And I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines over the next few weeks with Sophie here on the Kona Edge. The next time we catch up with Sophie will be next week, Thursday, to talk a little bit about her Ironman swim. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, thank you very much. And thank you to our sponsor, Wheel Science. If you're looking for high-performance race wheels at half the price, all you need to do is head over to this URL. Okay, it is thekonaedge.com/wheels. You can click on the link in the podcast player as well. And then be sure to use Kona Edge at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's Kona Edge at checkout. And the URL to get to is thekonaedge.com/wheels.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.